This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
After 10 years of growth, Germany's economy is faltering. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Europe's biggest economy slipped into contraction in the 3 months to June, according to data out this morning. The quarterly decline means, on an annual basis, Germany grew at its slowest pace in 6 years. Trade tensions are hurting the country's export-reliant manufacturing. The BBC's Rob Young reports on growing concerns that Germany could be on the edge of recession.
This is the sound of Europe's economic heart. A German factory, machines whirring, purring, creating wealth, helping to power a continent's economy. The German industrial engine really is a sight to behold. It's vast, efficient, and hugely successful. It's the main reason Germany is Europe's biggest economy. But it's now causing it problems, and that could be bad news for the rest of Europe too. Dane Kyriakopoulou is the chief economist at OMFIF, a think tank for central bankers.
We're living in a big interconnected global economy. There are supply chains that go beyond the borders of Germany. So when Germany is hit, then those that it relies on for inputs into its production, labor flows, to work in its factories, all of these different economies will be affected as a result as well.
So what is going on right now in the factories of Germany? Manufacturing has been in recession for a few months. The BDI calls itself the voice of German industry. It's an organisation with 1 million members. Klaus Deutsch is the BDI's head of economic and industrial policy.
The domestic sector is still pretty strong. Construction is booming and domestic services are doing very nicely. But industrial production, which was very strong until early 2018, is suffering from a severe setback of less global demand and increasing international trade problems.
But what about Germany's workers who work hard and stand to lose their jobs if the economy continues heading south? We caught up with some of them at that most German of institutions, the beer garden.
Up north, there are not so many jobs to find.
We run a restaurant, and for us it's a huge problem to find a cook.
Seit dem politischen Umschwung, ja, sind die Arbeitslosen.
He said basically the job market is weak in terms of specific jobs, like maintenance, building and constructors.
So can Germany do anything about the risk of a recession? It could spend its way out. As is the law, the government raised more in taxes than it spent last year, $13 billion more. Recession forecaster Marcel Fratschke says Chancellor Angela Merkel should spend a lot.
The economy is slowing down dangerously. It makes all the sense of the world to increase public spending on investment. A government needs to act now in order to protect the slowdown of the economy rather than wait for that to happen.
But even if the government does introduce stimulus measures like tax cuts and public spending, it doesn't shield the German economy from outside pressures like global trade spats and geopolitical tensions. I'm the BBC's Rob Young for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global stocks are steady. Oil prices are rising after the U.S. vowed to delay new tariffs on Chinese imports until mid-December. Gains in China, though, were limited by data that showed industrial production at its weakest in nearly 20 years and that Chinese consumers are becoming more frugal. Hong Kong stock index also higher as the city's airport returns to normal. A court order forced out pro-democracy protesters who'd caused flight delays and cancellations over the 2 days. In The Jetsons, that 60s cartoon about the future, people often worked remotely. Fast forward to today, and even with technology that makes flexible working possible, few companies officially offer it. It's usually down to a trusting manager, and if your company's HR policies don't support flexible working, even they're unlikely to allow it. Except in Finland, where by law, most staff have the right to adjust their hours, and coming soon, even where they work. The BBC's Maddie Savage explains.
Finland offers some of the most flexible working schedules on the planet. Global accounting firm Grant Thornton found that 92% of Finnish companies allow workers to adapt their hours. That's compared to 76% in the US and the UK, and only 18% in Japan, for example. And this is all due to a law called the Working Hours Act. It gives most staff the right to adjust the typical daily hours of their workplace by starting or finishing up to 3 hours early or later. Now, obviously, if you work in the fire service or in a school, you can't do this. But if you've got a regular office job, you're entitled to make the most of this law.
And you found one amazing example, a senior manager at a Finnish IT company who was even allowed to work from Spain for 6 months. I mean, is this down to trust?
He was the first in the company to do something quite so extreme. But because of high trust levels and because of a culture of flexible working, they decided, why not give it a go? And so he used online messaging tools like Slack and video conferencing tools to keep in touch. Things worked pretty well for him, and the company has said that they would consider others doing something similar. When it comes to trust in Finland, I think this goes back a long way. If you speak to sociologists, historians, economists, they'll all tell you it's a lot to do with the culture having low hierarchies, a culture that values consensus and equality and financial security. And there's also just a general emphasis on work-life balance. So people are supposed to spend time in their nature. They're supposed to spend time in their families. There's an understanding that this brings good things to people's lives and can make them more productive at work. And so increasing flexibility in Finland is more of a natural step on from that. In contrast, I think, to other parts of the world like China and maybe even the US, where, you know, the live to work idea, the idea that, you know, you shouldn't leave your office until the boss goes home, that's still more the way that people think about work. In Finland, it is a very different approach.
Maddie Savage there. Finally, Britain's regulator has banned two commercials featuring harmful gender stereotypes, a Philadelphia cheese ad showing two fathers leaving a baby on a conveyor belt, and a VW ad showing adventurous men and a woman sitting with a baby have been pulled under new law. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.